Good evening and welcome to this 60-minute edition of the Left, Right and Center. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. Two stories we are tracking at this moment. Story number one, we're counting down to 1 billion. Let's actually put that on screen, that countdown. No, not this. This we'll come to. The countdown. So the Cowin portal has this counter, live counter, which is going on. Let's see if we can fix it. Yes, India counting down to 1 billion doses. And since morning, this has been counting down to that 1 billion. 32 lakh doses left. It is expected that by tomorrow around 10 a.m., we will cross 1 billion. It's a moment of immense celebration. Immense. You know, 1 billion is a great achievement. 100 crore vaccines. From a point where we were in doubt to a point where lots of questions were asked, rightfully so, on whether we have the capability, capacity, did we plan enough or not, why did we not anticipate the second wave, vaccine became very important. From there to a situation where you've got this counter, which is counting down to 1 billion, is a great achievement. But as we celebrate, we must also celebrate with a sense of caution because we have to be prepared for the challenge ahead. There are many. Let me name a few. Challenge number one is that after vaccine hesitancy, which by the way still exists, now there is a case of vaccine complacency. The dropout rate is very high across the country of people who went for the first dose but are not coming in for the second dose. Why have we reached a situation like this? Why is that happening? How is this going to be addressed? Challenge number two, once you complete all the vaccines, then you will have to start to prepare for the booster shot. So this seems to be a cycle which is only just beginning. So while we are celebrating, as we really must, and I would like to welcome our first guest, Dr. Vinod Paul, head of the National COVID Vaccine Task Force. In just a short moment, we'll also have Dr. R.S. Sharma. But Dr. Paul, I want to start by saying that this is a great achievement and congratulations to you and the team. Because, you know, 100 crore doses cannot be, this achievement cannot be taken away. So first, let's talk about the celebration. You overcame all the challenges. Was this pretty much on target as far as your expectations were concerned?
Sanket, the credit for this achievement goes to the entire nation. It goes to the leadership of the Honorable Prime Minister. It goes to the hard work that started way back, some 18, 19 months ago, by a number of institutions, organizations, and teams. It is a result of having ultimately, our own vaccine, हमारी अब जो आत्मनिर्भरता है, उसके बिना ये काम सोचा भी नहीं जा सकता, क्योंकि अपने दम पे ही किया है तो हम कर पाए हैं, ये बहुत इंपॉर्टेंट बात रही है. So it is credit to the entire nation's ingenuity, hard work, and a strong platform of vaccine manufacturing capacity and the science capacity that exists in our nation. So we salute everybody who has contributed to this. Truly a moment to feel proud as an Indian. Jaise aap keh rahe hain, is it something which was anticipated? I would say it is definitely something that was envisioned and for which the pathways were created. Facilitation was ensured on a daily basis. The public money through Mission COVID Suraksha in particular, was made available to the companies and to R&D groups. Day and night assays, T-cell assay, immunogenicity assay, neutralizing assays, they were all done on a daily basis in our laboratories. Difficult studies, exposure studies, challenge studies were done in the National Institute of Virology. Sites were prepared. Look at Covaxin trial, for example. 24,000 volunteers took part in this. The DNA vaccine trial, 28,000 volunteers took part in this. So, ye bahut hard work hai. Aur us hard work, ye to banane ki baat, usko pahunchana har gaon, har basti mein, har pocket mein, har tarah ke vyaktiyon tak pahunchana, एक अपने आप में अचीवमेंट है ऑफ डिलीवरी एंड वी सल्यूट दोज हु डिलीवर दिस बट आई सल्यूट एवरीबॉडी हु एक्सेप्टेड दिस वैक्सीन्स विद ग्रेट एंथुसियाज्म. Vaccine hesitancy was there in the beginning, as you have pointed out. There were doubts, there were unfounded doubts, there were mischievous narratives. But the fact remains that ultimately, 100 crore doses have been embraced by the people of India. I salute them.
From that day, Dr. Paul,
no way, it is everybody's achievement.
At the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, Dr. Harshvardhan, you and Dr. Guleria, you all took the first shot. I was there when that grand opening was made. From that day to this day, this is really, I mean, it's been a journey of crests and troughs for one and all. Some of them, you know, many questions were asked of you on our planning, but I'm sure you had your reasons on what we were able to achieve and what we did not. My question, Dr. Paul, now is going to be on the challenges ahead. And let's deal with them one by one. Challenge number one after vaccine hesitancy is vaccine dropouts. I was in Chhattisgarh recently, Dr. Paul, and there you see that whether it is frontline workers, healthcare workers, 45 plus or 18 to 44, the percentage drop from dose 1 to dose 2 is as high as 15 to 20%. And this is the national story. Don't you think this is a cause of huge concern?
You know, the dropout issue is a very critical issue, and I agree with you that this has to be tackled on priority. 30% of Indian adults have taken both the doses. Among those who have taken the first vaccine, not everybody is due for the second vaccine. You must remember that. So the gap between 30% and 75% doesn't mean that is a gap. The gap of those individuals whose date for the next vaccine has passed is to the tune of about 9 to 10 crore individuals. So let's say 10 crore individuals who should have taken the vaccine by today, but have not taken the vaccine. Now, that's a substantial number. And these are the individuals, these are our brothers and sisters who accepted the vaccine voluntarily and taken the first dose. I think what we have to deal with is to be able to explain a couple of things. Firstly, they should individually know that one dose of vaccine is not fully protected. It is not good enough for their own self, and the vaccine antibody wane off and the protection wane off will happen much earlier if it is not already starting to happen. So, vaccine apne liye hi lene ki sabse pehle communication hame karne ki zarurat hai. Secondly, if this incomplete vaccination group is a significant group in the country, then it is doing a societal harm, because then the optimum effects of protecting against the ill effects of pandemic and control of pandemic will not really take place. So I think we should make a concerted plea. Vaccine supply is not an issue, and therefore it is the demand side effort that we need to make by explaining, by creating a buzz around the fact that let's not be lazy and let's not subject ourselves to increased risk of...
Point, Dr. Paul. Urging people to go for the second dose and making this vaccine reach more and more people. Because right now, the statistics say that only 21% of India is fully vaccinated and 51% only has one dose. So while we celebrate 100 crores, the reality of numbers is this. And soon there will be a situation where those who were administered the vaccine will have to go for a booster shot. My question, Dr. Paul, then is on preparation and making sure that your delivery is perfect. Can you for sure say that supply side problems have been solved? Because many centers run out of Covaxin even now.
No, Sanket, please appreciate that the supply side situation now is in absolutely good shape. On a typical day, let's say today or yesterday, 10 crore doses are the opening balance with the state governments. 10 crore doses to be vaccinated, to be used up. So there are surpluses available. The vaccination program up to this stage has gone in a certain way. It has achieved a huge purpose, but for any campaign, for any effort, you do appreciate that as we move toward the most, let's say, marginalized or difficult to reach or less readily, readily acceptance, then the situation has to be tackled with more intensity, with more dialogue, more mobilization. So we would like to appeal to the families of those who have taken the first dose to take the second dose if it is due. Neighbors, make it easy for them to again reach the vaccination centers. I think that is the message that is now required when the supply side situation is a non-issue. Now I must wake up and take my second dose. Let's make this into a narrative on social media and in the media. Let's do it as a campaign, because it is so important that there is a complete and full dosing of every individual who has started with taking the first dose.
Yes. Let's now talk about the booster doses. Dr. Paul, is there some consensus on when this has to begin? Because, see, the frontline workers and healthcare workers took their first shot as early as January. I'm sure by what doctors like you suggest or say or indicate, the effects of the vaccine must be wearing off now. So is it now time to start the booster doses?
Sanket, before I come to booster dose, I must say, for those people, those 25% adults who are eligible to take vaccine but have not taken vaccine, 75% of adults of India have taken at least one dose. But those 25%, for 24% who have not taken the first dose, can we mobilize them and reach them now, please? Let's make an effort that they are not left for want of information, for want of facilitation.
Sure.
We have allowed vaccine to be given in home settings, near home. All the pathways are available. And that has to be mission number one, that those who have not taken even the first dose, please take the vaccine. Supply is not an issue. Can we achieve that in the next few weeks?
Yes, but what about booster shots?
I'm not
because if there is a wave, another wave, God forbid, then you will need to protect the frontline workers.
On booster shots, firstly, please remember, there is no scientific uniformity or a consensus around the need for booster doses. What we know from some data sets is that in certain vaccines, the 6 months, there is some decline. Is there a clear-cut dosing schedule which has been worked out? The answer is no. Would the dosing schedule for booster doses the same for vaccine A, B, and C, D, and E? The answer is we do not know. So I think the need and the timing of booster dose is still a scientific question which is not yet answered. WHO does not recommend universal booster doses. And I urge media that please put the focus on ensuring universal coverage of adult population. That 25% which has not come to us, that 10 crore which has not taken the second dose is our endeavor today and the next few weeks.
Correct.
Let's complete that task again. Let's work together on that.
Sure. No, absolutely.
Booster dose need is in the realm of science. Our National Technical Advisory group, as you know, is watching this area. We also have studies that are in place. We are looking at the antibody decay and a T cell decay. Mere absence of antibodies does not rule out a full protection through the T cell system. So let this be in the realm of science. There is no big hurry or a big universal push by any organization.
Yeah, we've got to do the first task first. Of getting everyone vaccinated.
I agree
with you,
Dr.
Paul. And, we here at NDTV have always taken vaccination, going out there and getting vaccinated as a top priority. When everybody started thinking of COVID and vaccination as a very dull subject, let's move on, air. People don't want to keep talking about COVID. No, this channel kept on, despite the fact that the whole world started thinking of this as negative and boring. But, my final question, Dr. Paul, 1 billion in 10 months. What is the timeline for the next billion?
I would first remind you that in the earliest phase of our vaccination program, what was promised was about 60 crore doses to be delivered in 6 to 7 months, we used to say, so 7 to 8 months. That was achieved. And it was achieved before the time, in fact, by the Independence Day. So, and our progress to achieve 1 billion doses is also on track. And now we are in a situation where there is plenty of vaccine moving forward. I told you on a daily basis, we have more vaccine that the states can actually give at this point in time in a normal sense. We now need to consume the vaccine doses that are available with us expeditiously, continuing to maintain the momentum in a climb to a mountain. As we climb higher, there is a difficulty quotient that comes in. We are now into that quotient. The point that you raised about dropout issues, point that you raised about reaching the person who is in the remotest location may not be getting the information, is our agenda. This will mean that we fine-tune our strategy, intensify our effort, look at innovative means of reaching such individuals, those who are getting dropped out and those who are still not in the circle. And that is the top priority, booster dose, dosing for children. We'll have plenty of vaccine for these options when the time comes. Let's not worry about them. Sure. They are on our radar screen of our technical groups, and we have options to address them. But let's achieve the first things first. And today is a day to mark us sankalp ki aaj hame sankalp lena hai ki usko siddhi tak hum leke jaye.
Dr. Paul, thank you so much. And once again, while we'll talk about the challenges, we cannot stop talking about what a fantastic achievement this is. So, congratulations to you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Dr. R. S. Sharma, CEO of the National Health Authority of the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare, and also a man behind the Cowin app, the head of the Cowin portal, is now with us. Dr. Sharma, thank you very much for your time. From the time when you had initially started, where you know, you were always confident, you always kept telling us that we've handled UPI, so you know we can handle volume. There were initial doubts, there were glitches in the system also. What gave you the confidence that this app is going to handle not just 2.5 crores in a day, but 1 billion one day?
Thank you very much, Sanket, for having me on your channel. I think I must join everybody in this country to really celebrate this momentous occasion. I think this happens, you know, once in a lifetime kind of opportunity for all of us who are into this area of technology and software. It's really, the credit must go to the vaccinators, to the doctors, to the nurses, to health workers who have really toiled day and night since last 9 months or so and have made this moment come true. So the real credit and you know, sort of thanks must be given to those. Of course, I have been confident, and as you said, we were very clear that we have handled many things. Of course, you guys have always been doubting that competence, but then that's, I mean, I don't blame you for that matter. Okay, it's yes, it's a difficult job, and softwares are something which don't really sometimes work.
Yeah,
despite the best architecture, despite best you know, efforts, they do sometimes fail and they do sometimes have glitches. Unfortunately, the story of glitches in the software, I must say again and repeat it, that except for a couple of days in the beginning when the Honorable Prime Minister launched it on 16th of January, since then, you know, after a couple of days, there have been absolutely no glitches in the software. And actually, one question was raised to me that, you know, who will be the 100 crore beneficiary? And I was telling that gentleman that, look, we are sort of doing 700 vaccinations per second. So actually, who will be that 100th crore beneficiary will be a little difficult to find it out, because it will be a matter of not only milliseconds but also microseconds. So that's the speed at which we are going. People should realize that it's actually happening at a phenomenal speed.
Absolutely. I can see that you have redesigned the Cowin portal, the main page, which is now counting backwards to the moment where there will be the 1 billionth dose. It kind of builds the suspense and the momentum, does it? It's not really a technical solution that you have offered, but, you know, it does keep, and I must admit, it does keep people hooked on to that screen, with it's changing every second. Was this by design, or you had thought that you'll do this?
No, we had not thought this, you know, from the beginning, but, you know, sometimes as you see, as you go along, as you gain experience, you do keep on coming up with some innovative ideas. If you also have any idea, please share with us, and we'll be certainly trying to implement it if we that it's something.
No, Dr. Sharma, I'm going to perform my role. which sometimes you may not like of asking questions. So you say that we were doubting your competence. We never were. But it is well within our domain to ask questions if there is a question, a relevant one at that. That was the only intention.
Absolutely.
I want to now ask you, Dr. Sharma, that of course we've come this far. Let's talk about the utility of the Cowin app and the Cowin portal from here on. Of course, you know, we have much more to achieve. For instance, the whole second dose paradigm, getting into areas where even the first dose has not happened, convincing people to get rid of vaccine complacency, and the technological solution in the back of beyond. What are the real challenges that you have thought of, and how are you going to meet them?
I think it's a wonderful question, Sanket ji. And one of the things which we have in mind, one is this, that Cowin platform allows us to do a slicing and dicing of data to tell us the geographical distribution of the vaccines, you know, where, how many people have got the first dose in which particular area. And then, of course, it's assuming that the people of that area are getting vaccinated there. There will always be cases of portability, but then, you know, it will all cancel out. People from Ranchi can go to Delhi and people from Delhi can come to Ranchi and get the vaccine. So broadly, the geographical distribution of dose one, dose two, total population, etc. is available with us. So then, you know, it will give us actually which are the deficit areas, which are the areas which need more attention for the second dose. So that's number one. Secondly, we also will know that those people who have got the dose one, now we have made it available. The list of people who are overdue for dose two is available on the vaccination center wise to the vaccination centers. So they have the telephone numbers of those people. So now our approach will be micromanagement in some ways, that the vaccination centers will now be calling those people and say, look, your second dose is due. Please come over and have the second dose done.
And eventually prepare for the booster dose as well.
Well, booster dose is not really a part of, you know, the agenda as of now. That's the.
But should it be a part of the agenda? Your software can handle that.
Software can handle any agenda insofar it's a part of the policy.
Okay.
But government who makes policies, and this is not my, I've always maintained, but we are actually, the data gives us, data is a gold mine, which gives us ability to ensure that, you know, we are able to monitor each dose. That's the beauty of this whole platform.
Will the data and its analysis be available to public? My final question. At some point?
It is already available to public, Sanket. If I don't know whether you have seen that, but on the COVID portal you go, we have a download.
No, granular data. Details.
Absolutely granular details are available because it's available. Download the data, and when you go to the state, then you can download the data. You go to district, then you can download the data, that at the district level, you can download the data vaccine-wise. Of course, you can't download the data of the name of the people.
Okay.
You can download the numbers. Obviously, name downloading will mean that we will be able to, we will be exposing the data of the people, which obviously we will not
do. Yes, that should not be.
But certainly, statistical information is available.
Which is going to be very significant as we go along. Congratulations for 1 billionth, which is going to happen tomorrow. We'll all celebrate along with you. Thank you very much, Dr. Sharma, for joining us.
Thank you very much, Sanket, for having me on your platform. Thank you.
Welcome back. Now let's talk about the Aryan Khan case, the drug case, where the bail has now been rejected. See, the thing is that when this bail application came in, the court was told by the NCB, the Narcotics Control Bureau, that actually he is not just accused of consuming drugs or being at that party. He was in touch with someone who may have connections with an international drug cartel, and we have WhatsApp chats on him. And thus, bail should not be given. So the court said, fine, I mean, you mentioned names of an international drug racket and you say that you have evidence, bail rejected. The point is, in this particular matter, where everything is in the realm of may, possible, Has the process itself become the punishment? No, this is not a commentary on the court, that the court denied the bail. But the point is the manner in which the investigation is going on. It almost appeared as if the NCB, the Narcotics Control Bureau, had an afterthought after the arrest that, oh, we've discovered this also. Where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Let me now kickstart this discussion. D. Banerjee, former officer of the Central Narcotics Control Bureau, is with us. We also have Abhishek Tripathi, leader of the BJP, Ashwini Dubey, political analyst and advocate of the Supreme Court, Mayank Shekhar is a film critic. In just a short moment, Mr. Majid Memon and Kanika Sadanand are also going to join us. We'll begin with you, Mr. Banerjee, first. You know, the point that was mentioned by the NCB when the bail hearing came up was not the original charge when Aryan Khan was arrested. They said that he actually has a connection with someone who may have a connection with an international drug racket. Do you feel that this was an afterthought? After having arrested him, the NCB realized, let's say this as well.
Look, I don't think it can be an afterthought. To be very frank, you just can't tell a lie to the court. If it is a lie, they'll commit perjury. They have said that although he has not been charged with directly this thing, but they have got some evidence that interrogating him can lead to a bigger racket. If they have said so, they'll have to prove it and they'll get it. If they do not get it, then they'll have to answer for it. Why they have detained him for such a long time if they have not got anything big. Perhaps, I think, the investigation is on it is premature to say what they will get right now. It may take some time to complete the investigation. I think they have got more than 3 months' time to complete it. If after that they cannot, if after 90 days they cannot produce the charge sheet, then he'll be automatically bailed out. But then, of course, they'll have to say why they have detained him for such a long period. Why they have not got anything substantial.
No. You're right so, to say that if there is no proof on him, then he'll automatically come out on bail. But 90 days is a long time. And also, there is a certain degree of, as it is now being said, vulnerability involved here. So if he is not guilty, if he is found to be not guilty, will there be action against those officers?
Well, they'll have to. It has to be proved that they have worked in good faith. If they are, whatever they are doing, if they are doing in good faith, then no action can be taken against them.
Okay, but I don't think 90 days is that window, because had that been the case in many previous instances also, action would have followed. I don't think I have seen any action against any officer for carrying out a probe that hit a roadblock. Right, so that does not ever happen. Practically, it does not happen.
Generally,
Kanika Sadanand is now also with us. We'll try going to her in just a short moment. Kanika Sadanand, can you hear me? Let's put her on screen.
Yes, I can hear you, Sanket. And I'd like to add to what you were saying. We saw in the Sushant Singh Rajput case what happened, and how everybody and their uncle was accused, and there was of trafficking of drugs, of being drug users or drug sellers or whatever, nothing happened. And you asked a very pertinent question that the arrest memo had certain sections, and then when they went for bail, when they approached for bail, the NCB added some more sections. Okay, this could be a part of the investigation which is unearthed while they are questioning. But the point is that, as you said very correctly, that if you're using these kind of sections only to make an example, then it's a very bad precedent in law, because then you're letting the agencies run helter-skelter and do what they like if they're not going to be punished for these wrong sections that they put against people. And nobody has been punished. You're absolutely right. And as Mr. Banerjee said, they will have to prove that they did it in good intention. That's very easy to say, I did it in good intention. But the person who has been accused and have been put, whether for 90 days or for 1 year or whatever, behind bars because of these added sections, so that you can invoke Section 37 of the Act, it's not fair. And you're setting a bad precedent. You're making an example, a poster boy, and ultimately this person is a privileged person. They can probably afford lawyers. What about those people who cannot afford lawyers?
Yeah.
What happens to them?
Yeah. Okay. Majid Memon, senior leader of the NCP, is also with us. Mr. Memon, is there any in law, sort of a precedent that can be looked at as far as issues of bail and jail is concerned? That if you have arrested someone on certain charges, then bail in so many days.
No,
is there anything?
Let me tell your viewers, we have an apex law, that is the Constitution of India, which is above all the statutes. There are certain stringent provisions of law to fight terror, to fight drugs, to fight other extraordinary situations. We have legislated some statutes where we have made bail a bit difficult. Not impossible, but a bit difficult, because as has been said for the first 3 hours after the learned special judge's order was declared, that there is presumption of guilt. Let me tell your viewers that above all these statutes, you know, stands Article 21 of the Constitution of India, which says no person shall be deprived of his life and liberty save and except by due process of law. And that due process of law has to be fair. So presumption of guilt is not the general rule. It is in exceptional cases. Now, in NDPS...
But Mr. Memon, do you think that this is applied differently in different cases? And no, I would like to call this...
Kindly. No, give me 1 minute more so that I'll explain the basics of the criminal jurisprudence on bail.
Hmm.
You know, bail has always been a rule without even bothering about such stringent provisions of law. If there are statutes like NDPS Act, MCOC Act, UAPA Act, TADA, POTA, detention, many other such laws where bail becomes difficult but not impossible. Now, those are exceptions. Wherever legislature has made such stringent provisions to deal with emergency situations or difficult situations, there are also safeguards to protect the innocent people from being hauled up. You see, Jogendra Kumar case 1994, Supreme Court said, arrest is not always necessary. And remember, people must understand this basic thing, that arrest is not a part of punishment. Aryan is not kept in Arthur Road jail because he has committed the crime. Aryan is in jail because he is accused of a crime which is yet to be tried. And only if he is found guilty that he will have to be punished. So non-grant of bail must not serve as a punishment or as a hardship or as a... What is the reason for arrest? The reason for arrest is also spelt out in number of cases by Supreme Court time and again. And repeatedly, Supreme Court has said that arrest as far as possible has to be avoided. Detention, we don't have to have prisons overflowing with under trial prisoners.
Mm.
Remember, Sanket, one more thing I must tell you.
No, but Mr. Memon, see, the NCB said in this case that he could come out and then hamper with evidence.
Now, this is ridiculous. Now, do you expect that a person of this Aryan's type would hamper with evidence? Witnesses would be tempered. Witnesses have run away. NCB officers themselves are not able to lay hand on the witnesses.
Let them go.
How do you, and from where do you get it that Aryan would do it? Do you have any material to substantiate that? Has he done it in the past?
Okay.
Does he have any criminal antecedent? That therefore...
Okay, so all these things must be factored in.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me now go to Mr. Tripathi. Mr. Tripathi, on the Coup app, we asked certain questions and I would like you to take a few of them. Geet Arora on the Coup app has asked a question. Geet Arora says, do you think WhatsApp chats are enough to prove Aryan Khan guilty? We'll put that on the screen in just a short moment. Let me read it out. Geet Arora says, do you think WhatsApp chats are enough to prove him guilty? Then there is another comment by Hemrani. It's just humiliation. NCB and NIA don't have the guts to investigate on Adani Port and many other cases which are not highlighted in the media. Mr. Tripathi, how would you respond to these comments? This is also a way to look at it. That while you are eager to follow each and every process, what about the process as per law in other cases? 3,000 kilograms.
Sanket ji, first of all, I don't want to respond to these people asking on Kuo or any other platform, social media platform. Let's go by the merit of the case.
Take that as my question.
Let me answer.
Take that as my question. I ask you this question. My question to Mr. Tripathi is, does the NCB or the NIA not have the courage to investigate the Adani Port and many other cases which are not highlighted a lot in the media? How do you respond to this?
This is, I would again say this is beyond my purview to respond to such allegations or whatever you are asking. Let's talk about today's case. Every time we discuss about Aryan Khan, I don't know why we do that, first of all, but every time we discuss about Aryan Khan and we don't discuss about so many other people who are in jail, are not getting bail, but we discuss about him. Now that we are discussing him, we always forget there's a court of law. There is a judge, there is a magistrate who is rejecting his bail on the ground of whatever evidence the lawyers, the prosecution is submitting in front of them. Hmm. So why does it become a political reason? I don't understand. There are so many other people who are there in the jail. Why don't we discuss those people? There is Arman Kohli, one actor, who's there in the jail for the same reason for last more than a month. Why are
there's
we not discussing?
Political. He's so asking you why are you nationals. Not investigating Adani? What is it got
to? Listen, let me finish.
Adani a
let me finish. You spoke.
Is Adani a politician?
Let me finish. No, but I don't understand on what basis are we discussing Aryan Khan, emotional basis or legal basis?
Legal.
There's so many people who... No, completely
legal.
Because of...
As far as I'm concerned, I have no emotional attachment or involvement.
This is purely legal.
If I get to hear that if Aryan Khan comes out of the jail, he will not tamper with the evidences and people, it is an emotional outburst. It is not illegal. Who decides that he will not do it? I am not saying he has done it. But the legal says he should not be...
No, Majid Behmal just said that criminal antecedents also have to be looked at. That is also in the purview of the law.
With the supplier.
Majid Behmal, one more. Majid wants to respond. Yes, Mr. Behmal.
I am sorry to say that Tripathi ji took it as an offensive question when you asked him about that port, such huge material... And why that was treated differently? He took it as an offense. But I think let us forget that. Let us talk about Aryan. Now, Mr. Tripathi, as a lawyer, I am telling you, with a vast practice of about 50 years in criminal law, let me tell you, probably maybe before you were born even. Now, I must tell you that, you see, why is a person arrested? Whether it is Arman Kohli, the Aryan, or a roadsider, or anybody else, we are not identifying the stature of a person. We are saying accused. Any accused is arrested for the purposes of facing a trial. He is not arrested as a part of punishment. He is not arrested to humiliate him. He is not arrested to cause hardship to him. He is not arrested as a part of punishment. Please remember this. This is a basic premise. Now, Aryan, whether he is entitled to bail or not, the statute is going to decide. You are right in saying that the special judge has found him not eligible for bail according to his own assessment, according to his own judgment. We must bow down and respect the judicial order. But it is appealable. The High Court is going to hear him tomorrow again. Correct. We are only arguing that, well, whether as a viewer has asked a question, the chat alone is enough to prove that he is guilty of an offense. The answer is no. The chat alone is not enough, whether it's Aryan or anybody else, for any accused.
But he's not been proved guilty.
Just kindly bear with me for a minute. I am explaining to you the law. I am explaining to you the practice. It's a kind of an education for all of us. You see, this chat evidence is very vulnerable to tampering. Chat evidence can be exaggerated. Chat evidence can be manipulated. And chat evidence does not have sufficient feet to stand in the court of law when the trial takes place, when the cross-examination will be done by the defense. And therefore, the law in prudence requires some corroborative material to support what is coming out.
Okay, and as of this moment, we don't seem to be...
And this case, there is nothing. Exactly, we have nothing.
That does not seem to be available. Or at least even spoken about. Okay, one moment, Mr. Tripathi, I'll come back to you. Mayank Shekhar is waiting patiently, and so is Mr. Dubey. One more. Mayank Shekhar, I want to come to you now. You know, this whole point on why should a star's kid be spared right? Just because he is special. I'm saying that why should there be... See, we in this last month, we have had a tale of two sons. One from Maharashtra and one from Uttar Pradesh. Right? One son, the same process allowed him enough time. You know, there was notice number one outside his house, notice number two outside his house. So due process was followed for one son. And then eventually an arrest happened. That too when the Supreme Court stepped in. And here in this case, due process is being followed where you have whatever is being said. So the word process is a very amazing thing, Mayank Shekhar. It means different things in different cases, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think the way you started the entire debate, right, Sanket, where you called the process itself being punishment. And I genuinely don't think if there was Kafka around, I think he would have a tough time writing a story of this nature to do with Indian bureaucracy or Indian security state. I mean, you're looking at a particular case. I'm just only talking about this case. Forget about Starson or not, right? Yeah. We're talking about a raid that took place. This is Narcotics Control Board. You know, this is like a national body that looks at international drug trade. They came back in this particular issue. They came back with 6 grams of charas. I think if they're a global body, I'm sure that every country has one. They might be looking at this. I don't know what this does to the reputation of NCB. Like, they really came back with 6 grams of charas. But more than that, I think more importantly, as it turned out later, there was one person taking a selfie. He called himself a private investigator. There's another person from the ruling party who was also part of this raid, behaving like a cop. Now, they later said that they're informers. I mean, people that I've spoken to who have worked in this field tell me no informer will openly tell you they're informers. They'll be bumped off. It's a very big one. If you're really dealing with massive drug trade and drug lords, no informer tells the world, I was an informer in this particular raid. So it looked murky to begin with. Thereafter, of course, we've reached a situation which is quite similar, in fact, to the Riya Chakrabarty case that happened last year, where this person, on the basis of WhatsApp messages, is being accused of a larger racket, of an international racket, on something that we don't know the details of that yet. But I think when it goes to High Court, which is really what happened in Riya's case too, the High Court said that this person is not involved in a larger drug trade. So, I mean, if this is the way it's going to be, in fact, it's the reverse being true. If this is the way it's going to be with a very, very popular man's son, what will happen to regular people on the street, and how do they get picked up, and how is it that they obtain bail, and where are they sent in multiple conspiracies that can happen at a very personal level too? So in fact, it's the opposite. If this can, I mean, most people on the street would think, if this can happen to Shah Rukh Khan's son, just imagine
what
if someone really went after you, okay, what will happen to
or
you?
Or anyone else on the road. Okay, fine. Ashwini Dubey, before I come to you, Ms. Kanika Sadanand, Ashwini Dubey, sorry to keep you waiting, Mr. Dubey, for so long. But the question exactly is this. The point that Mayank Shekhar is making, that will these officers of the Narcotics Control Bureau, who are building a case and they have all the right in the world to, right? If they think something is wrong, you have strong evidence against someone, go for the jugular, right? But what happens if you are not successful, or it turns out that you did it for publicity, or you did it under some political consideration, then...
Thank you, Sanket Bhai, for having me here. Sanket Bhai, there is a need to deal with the malicious and wrongful prosecution. Malicious and wrongful prosecution, if instituted by any of the investigating agency of this country, and later it turns out that the person was implicated out of any political vendetta or to settle the personal score, then the authorities should be held accountable. This is one very right discussion you started. Second, there are 3 stages of a criminal law. One is the suspect stage. Second is the accused stage. Third in the convict stage. As my senior, Mr. Majid Menon, rightly said, that these are the special legislatures. The legislature passed by the parliament itself says that the bail is not a rule, which is applied in all the cases where the jail is exception, bail is a rule. It's a general principle, general principle of a criminal law, the person should not be kept behind the bar during the trial or out of any political vendetta or when there are no offenses against him. Three things is to be looked into. When any prosecuting agency register a case under any provisions against anybody, then the courts, which are fair, impartial, independent in this country, who evaluate the evidences, find it that whether the offenses which has been invoked by the prosecuting agency are able to meet out and the ingredients which has been invoked by virtue of the prima facie evidence gathered are able to and sufficient to meet out the offense, courts normally reject the bail. The courts does not believe on the system of the prosecution in some of the cases, which we have seen in Disha Ravi's case, the court demolished the theory of toolkit. Here, the court has, so far as the WhatsApp chat is, we are talking about, the court has said, so far as the section...
Yes, you are right. This is the court's wisdom. They have agreed with what the NCB was trying to say or submit.
Yes, Indian evidence, because we have to, rightly or wrongly, when a judgment is passed, we have to respect upon. We have right to criticize the judgment, but not the judge. Here, what is happening...
Nobody is questioning the Sessions Court, by the way. I want to make this very, very clear. As Mr. Memon also said, we are all educated enough to know that, the court in its wisdom has taken certain decisions. But Kanika Sadanan, it's not like that cannot be appealed against. You can go to the court and appeal against it. But Kanika Sadanan, the point is, what is being said, if that is not true, then?
Then how are you going to go ahead and penalize the officers and the institutions which misuse their power, which is, does not happen in the country? Another thing I want to just add here, and my senior Majid Menon Saab can correct me if I'm wrong. They said that the recovery of the phone was done voluntarily. Now, that's a private, it's a private conversation, and it does not have to be handed over to an investigating officer at that stage. Was it really handed over voluntarily? And is this the phone, WhatsApp chat is what they're basing everything on? So first of all, they were not read their rights, according to me, that they were not told that, you don't have to hand over anything without certain warrants or certain applications of the law. Am I right, Menon Saab? Because they said they voluntarily gave it, and I feel they intimidated them to give that. And they did not given that. And if they did not give it...
Repeatedly, Supreme Court in various decisions has come out warning people of this country who are the subject of law that policemen are not to be believed on what they say.
Okay, therefore, so I think that will be put to test in the High Court as well.
It would be put to the test during trial.
It will be put to test in the High Court as well.
Investigation.
This matter is going.
That's right.
And let's just hope that the process should not repeatedly become the punishment. Thank you very much, all of you all, for joining us. That's a wrap in this edition of Left, Right and Center. News continues. Stay with us.